There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We're here, a homecoming edition of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We'll go over the loss to Michigan. We had to skip our After the Dust Settles this week due to travel constraints and things like that. But we'll cover that all here today. We'll get into Indiana's quarterback carousel, which seems to be finally coming to an end, even though we do not know who is going to be the quarterback. And then we'll get into the massively important game against Rutgers for homecoming coming up on Saturday. TJ, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah, certainly doing doing better than IU is right now. But yeah, I mean, we'll dive into the Michigan game here. Obviously, the outcome was not particularly surprising, a 52-7 win for the Wolverines. But you know what? The first quarter was quite fun. If we could have stopped the game after that, we'd be having a very positive show, wouldn't we? But football does not work that way. There was another 45 minutes to go, and that was all Michigan. Great 15 minutes and really a good probably 25 minutes played by Indiana, and things really fell apart towards the end of the first half. Really a key play could be looked at as Indiana trailing, but a chance to drive and a nice ball thrown by Brendan Sorsby to completion to Donovan McCauley gets called back for an illegal hands to the face personal foul penalty. IU then unable to run out the clock in the first half or put together any kind of drive. Michigan gets it back, scores to end the first half, goes up 21-7, and then scores to start the second half, and the route is on. You know, I don't know how much we can take from it other than it's really hard to believe that Indiana beat Michigan 3 years ago. Just a complete 180 in both programs since that time.
Yeah, and you could go back to the Kevin Wilson era where in 2017 where Indiana should have beat Michigan two more times. You know, they had them beat in overtime in 2015, and you're a Peyton Ramsey two-point conversion or misread on a read option away from tying that game and potentially winning that game on a two-point conversion in 2017 on homecoming. You know, we'll get into it more after the season, but I was thinking on my long drive home from Michigan, you know, Indiana football goes through cycles, and they're down cycling now. And they had their shots at some of the big boys. You had your shots at Ohio State and missed them. You had your shots at Penn State. You got them twice, and once in 2013 and once in 2020. And then you had your shots at Michigan, and you only got them once. So the whole Big Ten had their shot to get some of these guys while they were down. Now they're, you know, the big three are upcycling again, and Michigan looks like they would have my vote for the number one team in the country coming out of that with Brock Bowers injury out of Georgia. I think that's the difference there. You know, he's such a terrific player, and to lose that, you know, but JJ McCarthy looks like he's taking the next step. But you go back to Indiana, and they had their shots, and you missed. And if you're going to go for those top three teams, you got to take a shot, and you got to land the punch. And Indiana only did that once with Michigan. But yeah, it seems 2020 seems like it was 30 years ago, not just 3 years ago, in terms of Indiana football. And it seems any goodwill that was built up during the 2019 and 2020 seasons is gone. And a lot of it has been long gone. And while I disagree with, you know, how fast it turned on Tom Allen in 2021, it's getting to the point of no return. And that starts with Rutgers on Saturday. But let's get it back to the Michigan game. You know, that first quarter was so good. And Indiana had their chance to extend the lead. And Taven Jackson throws a bad pass that gets intercepted in the red zone. You know, you had DeKeese Carter wide open. I don't know if the ball slipped. I couldn't tell from the radio booth, and I couldn't tell from the replay. He either severely overthrew James Bamba or severely underthrew DeKeese Carter, or the ball slipped out. Any of those three are bad outcomes, but that drive should have produced at least 3 points, and then you get Brendan Sorsby coming in on drive three. That was the plan all along. Tom Allen said it after the game was, hey, we're back to square one. First two drives with Taven, next two drives with Brendan Sorsby. Indiana gets a touchdown on a McCulley. A nice double pass, McCulley to Jalen, Sorsby to McCulley, McCulley to Jalen Lucas. And, you know, you're kind of cooking there a little bit, and the defense is playing well, and you think, oh, maybe this is going to be one of these crazy Indiana-Michigan games. And then it turned out that hands-to-face penalty was my turning point of the game at that point. And you kind of knew the game was over when Michigan broke the 20-point mark, since Indiana finds it very difficult to score over 20 points in Big Ten play. But let's get to the quarterback situation. I wouldn't call it back to square one, but you're spinning on this carousel of quarterbacks enough to make anybody sick. Even the strongest iron-stomached person is going to vomit on this ride. You know, going into the Louisville game, Taven was named the starter. Coming out of the Louisville, it looked like, okay, he solidified the job. That second half was pretty good. You come out against Akron, he does not play well, but he plays the entire game. In Maryland, he comes out, doesn't play well, is replaced by Brendan Sorsby in the second half. Sorsby breathes some life into the offense a little bit, even though it's against some of Maryland's backups. Taven Jackson coming out of the bye week, still the starter. That was said on Monday. There was no plan on Monday that he publicly – that they were going to go back and switch. I get it with the offensive coordinator switch, but you can't still be evaluating quarterbacks in, in week seven. But I've said this since fall. I've said this since spring ball. These are two very even quarterbacks, and nobody ran away with it. This wasn't head games played by Tom Allen to get an up on Ohio State. This was – they have a lot of data and they can't make a decision, and that's not good for Indiana. So coming in this week, Tom Allen announced on Monday that whoever starts the Michigan game is going to be the starter the rest of the way. The Rutgers game. What did I say? The Indiana game?
Michigan.
Oh. Yeah,
Michigan game.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and I to interject here, I think you're right. 'Cause I Tom Allen coming out, and I, look, maybe his comments were this, and I'm misreading it, but he got a lot of crap for always being secretive again, trying to fool Rutgers. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but the ridiculous part is that they don't know.
Yes.
They don't know who their quarterback is.
Yeah,
that's
this is
the ridiculous part. It's not that they're trying to trick Rutgers or play mind games or anything like that. It was when Tom Allen was asked that question on Monday, the coaching staff does not know, and maybe they do today. We don't know that. But on Monday, I think it was very clear they don't know which of those two guys is their quarterback. They don't know. Because neither of those two have done enough to say, I'm the guy. Or, you know, you could paint it the optimistic way a little bit and say, well, they both shown enough flashes to where you say, I want to see more from him to see if he can develop on that. Because I think that's true potentially as well. I mean, Taven Jackson, you could charitably say he played very well in the second half against Louisville, and that was probably the highest ceiling that we've seen from an Indiana quarterback so far in 2023, that particular half of football. It turns out against a solid to good Louisville team. He's also, I think, been far more inaccurate and indecisive in his decision-making than Brandon Sorsby has been.
Yep.
So you've got the potentially higher ceiling, lack of mobility from Taven Jackson that I think hurts IU's offense,
yep,
not having that mobility, and a lower floor in terms of indecisiveness and inaccuracy. With Brandon Sorsby, I think you have a lower ceiling in terms of, you know, his overall arm talent, but you do have probably a higher floor. Sorsby's shown to be a bit more decisive. Sorsby has shown to be better at taking care of the ball. Of course, he did have a turnover against Michigan with very loose with the ball as he was under pressure. And Sorsby offers more mobility, and, you know, you can do a bit more in terms of the speed option game or read option or just running the quarterback with draws or quarterback keepers. So, I mean, you really are kind of seeing some qualities in both, some warts in both, and you're left with, man, I don't know which one is the best choice here. And this truly, I think, is a case of you've got two guys that are okay, could be good, need time, but you don't know which one to give that time to and which one is going to offer you the best path to win right now, which obviously this Rutgers game is that case. It's a win-now game.
It's a must-win game, and time is running out. Yeah, and time is running out, and then, you know, you have...
Time is out. Yeah.
Yes, time...
Now or never.
Yes, it's this week or never.
Yep.
You know, if they lose to Rutgers, it's over. For all intents and purposes, it's over. You also have Dexter Williams coming back from injury. I personally, and I'll put this to rest, I don't see him starting this week. I don't see him being the savior that IU football needs this year for several reasons. And it goes back to 2020 and his freshman year, where they were thanking God that Jack Tuttle came running out of the locker room at Wisconsin. And I get it. You have a true freshman on the road in a one-score game, and you don't want to put him in if you don't have to. And then you go to the bowl game where Jack Tuttle has one arm, and you don't put in Dexter Williams, even though you had a month to prepare for Ole Miss to get him practices and all that stuff. He either wasn't ready or the coaching staff didn't trust him. And then last year against Penn State, he's the third quarterback in the game behind Jack Tuttle, who is already in the transfer portal, which is a coaching malpractice on Tom Allen and whoever else made that decision. And then behind Brandon Sorsby as well. And then, you know, he had a nice game against Michigan State and a nice first quarter against Purdue. So if you're hanging your hat on Dexter Williams coming in and riding on the white horse and being the savior, I wouldn't count on it. He's a nice player, and we'll see what happens, but he's coming off a major knee injury. How much practice time has he actually gotten? Is he ready to go? Do you have enough plays in the playbook to let it rip against Rutgers? If it is, whatever, I'll be happy to be wrong, but I don't see it. And I just don't see it. And, you know, this week is such a huge game, TJ. And I know people laugh at it. It's Rutgers. Rutgers is 5-2. They've turned the corner. They're a tough team. I've watched several Rutgers games this year. They pulled one out of their rear end last week against Michigan State at home in a funky game, but they play hard. And they're just they'll just keep coming until you quit. And that's what the scary thing about Rutgers is. Kyle Manungai had another 100-yard rushing in the fourth quarter last week. They're just going to grind you down and take your will. And right now that's what worries me about Indiana is how quickly things could go south if something goes wrong. We saw it in 2021 when Rutgers came in. You fumbled on the first play, and basically they gave up on the game. They lost 34-3 or whatever it was, 31-3. But, you know, this is – if you're – this is it for Tom Allen. You lose this, it's over. You win, and it opens up a lot of possibilities. Yeah, you go into Penn State the week after, probably get your butts kicked. But Wisconsin just lost their starting quarterback, probably out for the IU game. Michigan State is a tire fire. Illinois doesn't look great. Purdue doesn't look great. You know, opportunities are still there. Yeah, you're probably, if you're going to make the Tom Allen era football game, you're in the final 2 minutes of that fourth quarter, and you're down, and you need a touchdown. So, and you need a win. So, yeah, what's your take on Rutgers? You wrote about them this week.
Right. Yep. So, Greg Schiano, of course, head coach there, and this is a very Greg Schiano team. I mean, they are his motto of keep chopping wood. That's exactly what they've done so far this year. Look, 5-2, not particularly impressive resume, but certainly I'm not criticizing it. That IU would kill for that. And they have beaten some, you know, decent opposition in terms of just being Power 5 opponents. Virginia Tech, Michigan State, you know, bad Power 5 teams, but still, Rutgers got it done. Now, they are 0-2 on the road, and they have looked bad on the road, but you can look at it and say, yeah, but that was Michigan and that was Wisconsin, and that's fair, very fair. But they have certainly handled their business at home, lost on the road. Indiana's not going to provide the same atmosphere challenge that Michigan and Wisconsin do. So take that information for what you will. It might mean absolutely nothing on Saturday. Good special teams unit. Their special teams played a critical role in their comeback win over Michigan State. So that was, you know, a big deal for them. They had a Michigan State lost a snap on a punt that Rutgers picked up and ran in. And they also had a weird kind of a sky kick that Rutgers was able to get. It's kind of a long onside kick, for lack of a better way of describing it. But Rutgers was able to set themselves up with the short field that Kyle Manungai then ran in for the go-ahead touchdown to complete that comeback. They were down 24-6 to start that fourth quarter. So big, big comeback win for them. They've got all kinds of momentum. IU going the opposite direction. Obviously for Rutgers, they're hanging their hats on the running game and a solid defense. The passing game's still not really a major threat for Rutgers. It's not totally toothless, but not much in the way of difference makers at wide receiver or at quarterback. You know, they certainly have had high expectations for Gavin Wimsatt, and just, you know, I've never seen it from him. It's just, he's fine. He's just okay. He will be loose with the football. He will make mistakes if you can pressure him. But really, they just want to rely on Kyle Manungai, get into third and short situations, give it to him, let him pound it out for a first down, keep the chains moving, keep the ball in their possession, and move forward. That's their game plan. They're not going to be really stretching the field vertically too much. But what you are going to see is Kyle Manungai And Indiana's key for their defense is going to be getting Rutgers into third and medium, third and long situations and be able to put pressure on Wimsatt. That's your goal. They're not comfortable in third and long situations. They are very comfortable in third and short. So if they can stay ahead of schedule, they're in good shape on offense. If you can get them behind schedule, you're probably going to be able to get them off the field and get yourself back out there. Defense giving up 16 points a game. They're solid, just a very solid unit. Nothing particularly stands out at you. I think that they have a pretty good secondary. And I think that they're tough up front, but they don't particularly pressure the quarterback all that well. They're pretty solid against the run, 3.37 yards per carry for the opposition. So that's going to be a challenge for an IU team that struggles to run the ball effectively. I do think Sorsby, again, I'll reiterate this. I think Sorsby's mobility is an asset in this game. I think he is going to be needed for IU's running attack. If I were making the choice at quarterback, which it's a good thing for everybody that I'm not making choices for the football program, but if I were, Sorsby's my guy for Saturday. Give him a chance to start the game and see what he can do. I do think that his mobility is going to be necessary for IU to run the ball successfully. And I think IU's got to hit chunk plays. I think they need explosive plays because I don't think that IU's offense is good enough, disciplined enough, consistent enough to be able to move the ball down the field with 12 to 15 play drives. I think that eventually they're going to screw something up, get a negative play, get themselves off schedule and not be able to make up for it. Whether that's a penalty, like we saw with the illegal hands to the face or a holding or, you know, a negative play on a attempted run to the outside that goes for minus 6 yards, something like that, or a turnover. I think IU needs explosive plays to be able to get, you know, a 4-play drive instead of a 12 to 15 play drive. I just don't trust IU's offense to be able to make those consistently work for them. So those are kind of my 10,000 foot keys to this thing. I think that Rutgers, while 5-2, very beatable. But Indiana's going to have to do it.
Yep.
Rutgers is not going to beat themselves, probably. I mean, look, it's college football. They are not a great team. Anything can happen. But if you're counting on Rutgers to go out there and hand you the game, it's probably not going to happen. Indiana's going to have to make some plays to do so. Now, I don't think that either team is going to be getting into the 30s here. But I think both coaches, if you said, hey, we'll give you 24 points, I think either coach would probably take it and feel good about their chances to win on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rutgers, you know, they have 17 sacks on defense. They've forced 11 takeaways as well, have only given up the ball nine times. They've given up the ball nine times as well.
Yeah.
This is the first Big Ten game where IU's not out-athleted, I think. You know, IU should have better athletes than Rutgers, but can you put forth the effort and match the effort that Rutgers is going to put in? They're one win away from being bowl eligible. It'd be the first time they've reached six wins, I think, since 2014, 15. Or 2014, something along those lines. It's just they have that Greg Schiano personality, and you saw it raise its head last week against Michigan State. Rutgers looked dead in the water. Michigan State makes some critical errors, and Rutgers takes advantage. You know, Indiana has to follow the opposite blueprint. You cannot make mistakes against this team. You know, who knows what the crowd will be. But this crowd will flip on you as soon as you make a mistake on Saturday. I guarantee it. Whether it's the first time you go 3-and-out, the first play that gets 0 yards, the first incompletion from the quarterback, the first missed tackle on defense, whatever it is, this crowd is going to be out to boo you as soon as possible. And one, I don't blame them. I get it. But that's something you're going to have to deal with. And are you mentally tough enough to deal with that? You know, can you recover if you fumble the ball on the first drive of the game? Are you mentally tough enough to recover and make a game the rest of the week? Or are you going to fold like in 2021 and pack up camp? Because it's like we've said all show, it's now or never. This you have to have your best effort on Saturday, because they're not going to be. Yeah, there's five more games after this, but they might not mean much, as much as this one. So, you know, we'll see. We talked about some matchups, keys to the game. TJ, what's a matchup to watch for you?
Yeah, because I think that it's so difficult for Rutgers to get themselves consistently out of third to medium, third and long, and it's really important for their offense to stay on schedule. Kyle Manungai is so important to their attack. I'm going to go with Kyle Manungai against the IU defensive line and linebackers. Critical that you, number one, get some penetration to bust up those plays before they can get going. And number two, tackle him when you have the chance. He's good at breaking contact. Not the most explosive guy, but just a very, very solid running back. He's a good player. I think that it's critical for Indiana to tackle him when they've got that initial chance, because again, the plan on defense is all getting them off schedule. And the key to that is tackling Kyle Manungai with your first opportunity and preventing those yards after contact. So that's my big matchup to watch, will be Kyle Manungai, the Rutgers running game versus IU's front seven and their ability to slow down the Rutgers rushing attack and get them off schedule on offense.
Yeah, I'll go kind of the mental game matchup to watch. It's IU's mental toughness against Rutgers' mm-hmm. chop mentality. Rutgers is going to come after you for four quarters. Can IU mentally stay in the game? And I know it's year seven of Tom Allen's tenure, and that shouldn't be a question. Well, it is. Can they match mental toughness with Rutgers and stay in this game? If they do, I think IU's in it till the end. And if not, pulls out a win. If something happens early and it goes south, and it goes south fast, it could get ugly in Bloomington. So let's get down to predictions, TJ, and final thoughts. What's your prediction and final thoughts on the game on Saturday?
Oh yeah, so I think that IU is going to battle. I do think we're going to see effort, and I do think that IU is going to play one of its better games that they've played so far. Excuse me. However, I don't have faith that this Indiana team is going to make the plays when it matters in the fourth quarter. I'm going to go with Rutgers winning a four-quarter contest. I think it'll be close right till the end, but Rutgers makes a critical play at the end of the game and wins it 24-20. So I guess I'll go late touchdown for Rutgers to get a win.
Yeah, they're not kicking the game-winning field goal up 21-24 or 21-20. It's a tough one to pick because there's so much on the line. And, you get so encouraged about how Indiana came out and started the game last week against Rutgers – or against Michigan. Against Michigan. They dominated Michigan in the first quarter. Like, dominated them. Yeah, they missed opportunities. Probably should have been up by more, maybe by two scores at least. And if they play that way, and, you know, I thought the play calling was much better. I thought the effort was there. They probably win by one or two scores on Saturday. However, if they fall off like they did after the hands to the face, or in the basically the last three quarters of the game against Michigan, Rutgers is going to win by one or two scores. It's, you know, it's just a tough game to call. I think the line on it is Rutgers minus five, but I'm going to take IU. It might be my heart talking instead of my brain, but I'm going to take IU. It's homecoming. It's a game you got to win to at least extend the season two more weeks to the Wisconsin game in November. I'm going to take IU 27, Rutgers 24. We'll see if Chris Freeman can come out in the clutch again. So IU 27, Rutgers 24, and in a classic rock fight on BTN.
Yeah, this is a very Big Ten Network game for sure. Indiana has definitely had some high exposure, you know, national TV games because of their opponents. So far this year, they'll have another one with Penn State. This one is definitely a Big Ten Network at noon type of game. Yeah.
Yep. If they could play it at 9 a.m., they would have.
Yeah. The Breakfast Club game.
Yeah, it might be the hangover from Friday night game. But anyway, that does it for today's show. TJ, thanks for joining us. Monster game in Bloomington. Maybe not in the college football world, but in the world of Indiana football, this game is a must-win for the Hoosiers. It's a must-win for Tom Allen. And if they don't come out, you know, regardless of what we think is going to happen, but what should happen is going to become pretty obvious. If IU goes down on Saturday, if they don't, if they win, you could take a deep breath, get ready for Penn State, and look at the rest of the season where you have, you know, four games left with Wisconsin, Michigan State, Illinois, and Purdue to close the season. And, you know, try and win as many games as you can and salvage what's left of the Tom Allen era. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have all your pregame write-ups heading up to the game on Saturday at noon on Big Ten Network in Bloomington at HoosierHuddle.com. TJ, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of your week.